Hello and welcome to That Guy's a Maniac, the podcast DS. We are a podcast about video games. My name is Richie and with me is Farley, aka Kunzy11, who will say hello, explain why we are called DS this season, and tell you where to find us on the internet. Do those things.
Hello, welcome to That Guy's a Maniac DS, the latest video games news, reviews and previews.
No, it's not.
We're called DS this season after the Nintendo DS dual screen system, and our episodes are divided into two halves, one beginning with a D, one beginning with an S, much like how some Nintendo DS titles had a D and S subtitle, such as, I didn't research one, so I'm going to use a basic one, Advance Wars Dual Strike. I don't think I mentioned that. You can find us at That Guy's a Maniac on all the socials, and the home of That Guy's a Maniac is www.thatguys.co.uk for all the news, reviews, and previews of video games.
Cool.
In Season 4 tradition, we have two big bags. One is a big bag of Words Begin With D, one is a big bag of Words Begin With S. Richie, have a scrummage and a rummage.
I have a scrummage and a rummage. So that's a little scrummage. And I have put my hand into the big bag of D's.
Yeah, I am
fondling all of the D's. And, oh, I'm going to get this one. It is deluxe.
Nice. I've got a big bag of S's. Rummage, rummage, rummage. Don't even have a sound effect. It's sleep! Oh, thank God. There we go. That's my sound effect. It's definitely mine. Sleep. Deluxe sleep. That's the episode.
Cool. Deluxe and sleep.
Deluxe and sleep.
What could we do about this episode?
Coincidentally, two of the games I have recently been playing have those words in them. So let's do a classic episode of... What are you playing? I'll kick us off. So, as I've previously mentioned, but now it's complete. Mario Kart 8, magically, wonderful, fills my heart with joy, has been getting updates that nobody asked for, but everyone's quite chuffed with. Essentially doubling the size of the game. So, if you're not familiar with the chronology, reader, Mario Kart 8... came out on the Wii U, right?
Yes, it did.
And then how did the deluxe come into it?
So it came out on the Switch, but they didn't want to just give you Mario Kart 8, so they gave you Mario Kart 8 plus all of the DLC, so things like Link from...
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so Mario Kart 8 came out for the Wii U. They had a few updates then, so there was one of the Grand Prix which brought you levels from F-Zero, Legend of Zelda, Hyrule level.
Excite Bike, SNES tracks.
Yeah, very cool track based on Animal Crossing that would switch between the four seasons every time you played it with different Animal Crossing. So, a nice update. Then they repackaged that as a game for the Switch. And then years later, I mean, there's a big meme about how 10 years later, a whole new round of updates are announced, bringing back more old tracks, introducing some tracks from Mario Kart Tour, which is the mobile game, which I've played. I don't think you've played, have you?
No, I only ever played the mainstream versions, none of those sidey ones.
It's okay. It's you know, Mario Kart on your mobile phone. Horrible microtransactions, but automatically driving forward, and you have a limited amount of control. So some of those tracks have been introduced, as well as some brand new tracks. And then, as of last week in recording time, God knows when this is in terms of listening time, they've just finished very, very slowly. They announced this whole thing as part of the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. Plus or whatever, you can buy the whole thing as a separate DLC, but very, very slowly releasing packs of 8 tracks. And then on top of that, for free in inverted commas, they've introduced a swathe of returning characters. And then in the last one, we got a whole bunch of me costumes, which are quite good.
Okay.
And bizarrely, you know, if anyone has that Daisy amiibo lying around, a amiibo outfit, a me outfit you can unlock with the Daisy amiibo, madly. So yeah, so the last 8 tracks came out, as well as, who do we get in this last round? Funky Kong, Diddy Kong, it's kind of mental that Diddy Kong wasn't already in it.
Toadette.
Toadette.
Toadette, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Toadette, who, because Bowser went so mental online, I genuinely have to kind of unpick my thinking. Oh, yeah, no, she doesn't actually exist. That's just something the internet created. And actually, Toadette, I can't remember which game she's in.
Something is one of those Mario Kart side scrollers, and you can get a crown mushroom upgrade. It's really weird.
It is really, yeah. So Peach can be Little Peach and Big Peach, but then they introduce a power up where she become Peachette, and
yeah,
and yeah,
that was just fuel. That was just pure internet fuel.
Yeah.
So like, what if Bowser? What if Boo ate this mushroom?
Yeah. And then you get Booette and Bowserette, and
yeah.
There's lots of saucy cosplay about both of those. What's her face? Pauline? Is that her name?
Yeah, Pauline, yeah.
Pauline's back.
The Donkey Kong original person that Jumpman saves.
Yes, who then returned as the mayor of New Donk City in Mario Odyssey. She's now a racer. As well.
And had a little cameo in the Mario film as well.
She did, yeah. Really messing up the canon in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So that's been great. It's such a weird experience to, because I played Mario Kart 8 to death and got quite good at it, if I say so myself. So it's really nice to have like new stuff. I think some of the old tracks, they've all been slightly remixed. So even tracks from like Mario Kart Wii, which are back, have been slightly updated. So, you know, for I guess for 8-player online racing, so they're not quite as one would remember it. They're not drastically changed. Yeah. Some of the Mario Kart Tour tracks, so there's tracks across this whole new update. There's one on Tokyo. There's one based in Rome. There's one in London.
France,
there's Paris. Those are a bit hit and miss because those levels are designed for a touch screen control game where basically, you know, you can't really spin. You're not really driving, so you can't really spin out. You can't turn around. You're gently pushing things left to right and doing boosts. Some of those translate really badly to this is a track that you now just drive around. And a lot of them are, there are a few of them in the base game, but a lot of them are the tracks where you don't have laps of the same course. You just keep driving in a line. Quite a few of them introduce a cool thing, which I think is just a Mario Kart Tour thing, could be wrong, where normally on the last lap you drive against the rest of the crowd.
Oh, okay, yeah.
In different routes, but they're a bit convoluted. So you can look up if you ever decide to play it, or you could alternatively you can just look up the map of the tracks, and you can instantly spot the Mario Kart Tour ones because by looking at them you've got no idea which way to go, and you're heavily reliant on the massive flashing arrows which tell you, okay, now you're going.
Yeah, and it's weird. No, I've played the London one.
Yeah,
and I found myself getting very, very lost very, very quickly. And you have to find the visual cue. That's the thing. It's like there's so much going on in the background.
Yeah,
that weirdly trying to find a big flashing arrow going right is quite hard. You have to know to look in a specific place. And then you can you can win the race.
Yeah, I mean, especially so the Berlin track, which is one I still do quite badly on. There's a roundabout at one point. You go around one way. You go around the other way, and I think you go around it backwards at one point. Very confusing. So some of those are a bit and will take quite a while to master. Others are a genuine pleasure to play.
So I heard really, really good things about the latest. Is it? It was a SNES remake, Bowser Castle 3 or something like that.
Yes, I was about to mention one of the new, the last 8 added is, I think it is Bowser's Castle 3. But unlike some of the other SNES and NES courses, SNES courses which have come back, they've really updated it, and it's awesome. It's an awesome, awesome track. Yeah, they've added, you know, ramps and jumps and ledges. Yeah, it's definitely one of the standout ones of this new bunch.
Cool.
And enjoying that. Yeah, so like I say, I've got all the muscle memory there on how to play it. You know, I don't have to soften my brain to learn any new skills, but we've now got like 8 new tracks. And playing online, which is one of the few games I actually enjoy playing online, you know, you get like a little shiver of excitement, like, oh, it's a new track. And because Mario Kart 8 has like a voting system where you can either vote for 4 random tracks or go for random. At the moment, when one of the new tracks is coming up, the community will normally vote for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good. And then weirdly, they've given, sometimes Nintendo do this, in this last update, which they really have given quite a lot for, although you do have to pay for it, they've given us like a music playing option.
And you have the like option to change them for different courses as well, don't you?
I briefly had a look at it just to play. For example, I didn't know that the Animal Crossing track actually has 4 completely different songs depending on the season.
Nice, that's awesome.
But it's one of the Nintendo do it a lot. It's one of those things where, okay, this is kind of cool. I can listen to any of the tracks without having to play the track, without, you know, having to race or being timed out. But also, when? You know, or are they genuinely expecting people to sit there, turn their Switch on the TV and play? Cause it's not like Smash, a couple of the Smash games, where they had a special mode, I think for the DS anyway, where you could essentially use it like a Smash soundtrack player.
I mean, yeah. Like,
can't even do that, right? You know, people aren't walking exactly around with a Switch on in their pocket. You can't set up a playlist. So it's, you know, great. Thank you.
I'm sure with you 100%. But so many games do that as well. And the same argument can be made for, like, hey, look at the extra section where it's got artwork or a 3D model that you'll look at for 2 seconds. Like it's nice that they add these things in, and maybe you could use it for reference, like even like Mario Party, like that one that we were playing.
You can
use the coins that you win from the game to buy the music tracks. I'm like, great, fantastic. Then, when am I never ever gonna listen to
them? Invite your friends over and should we have a Mario, you know, those classic tracks on Mario Party 3? Let's have a Mario Party 3 listen party.
Yeah.
We come in and we have to play the game 14,000 times in order to buy them all. So yeah, it's a bit, you know, and it's not even, I think I could be misspeaking because I only quickly checked it out. It's not even giving you the option to, you know, if you fucking love Moo Moo Meadows track, which top tier track, you know, you can set it as this track will play every time I play Mario Kart.
That would be good. It'd be good just at the start of any course.
Yeah.
You know, as that build up is happening, before you get the 3 BB beeps, you can scroll through a list.
Yeah.
Right, okay, yeah, I want to play this track for this.
But instead, yeah, it doesn't, you know, or always play this track on the title screen, or like Smash Brothers kind of does, you know, play these 3 tracks in rotation when I'm on the title screen. Anyway, nice thing to, can't complain, nice thing to have, but weird implementing either. Do it properly or don't do it at all. Although I'm sure, you know, ROM hackers are happy to be able to rip clean versions of those soundtracks relatively easily. So yeah, I've been playing some fucking, you know, Mario Kart, which is what? Technically like a 2008 game. Mario Kart 8. Looking up live on the podcast.
Yeah, it's the best kind of content.
Best
where we read the internet. And also, it's only one of us is reading, so the other person has to
nine years.
Okay.
Yeah, 9 years. And also, like, testament to the game, it still holds up, you know? There's a few other games.
I'm waiting for Mario Kart 9, to be honest.
Yeah, well, one thing I was thinking about, and again, there have been a few memes about it, is much like the Super Smash Bros. Problem. If, you know, there are what? I think it takes, like, if you want to do a, you know, if we sat down and decided to do a let's do an every race Grand Prix, right, that is taking you most of the day now. Because there are how many fucking tracks? I can't even tell you.
It doesn't matter, don't look it up. It doesn't matter, don't look
no,
it
no,
up.
No, I'm trying to, what's like, what is it? Four?
Yeah.
Four tracks per Grand Prix, and then there are...
How many cups?
10 cups?
40 cup? 40 tracks.
And then another 10 cups? Or is it 12? 24 cups?
Okay. No, 40. 40 and 48. So 88. Let's say it's 88 and move on with our lives.
88 tracks. By the time you throw in not just all the characters, but all the Mii outfits, and then, you know, you can play as any color Yoshi, any color Birdo, any color Shy Guy. If Mario Kart 9 comes out and doesn't have 88 tracks, 40 characters, not to mention the number of different kart pieces, people are going to be unhappy. But also, there's not much else.
No. Mario Kart doesn't need to do that. It can start again, absolutely. I mean, what we would expect from a Mario Kart 9 is obviously it'd be on the Switch 2. It would have updated graphics and mechanics. And, yeah, you just start again. New races, and then options for DLC.
Oh, interestingly, Mario Kart 8, I almost forgot this. And it only really comes across in the Smash Bros. Mario Kart 8 stage. That the big kind of gimmick was, hey, we've got anti-gravity and you go upside down. But of course, when you are driving, you don't get any sense. There are a few occasions where you get the sense of like, oh, I'm now driving upside down. Because, you know, it doesn't flip the screen because that would be a nightmare to control. So for all you, as far as you can tell, you are just driving on a course, and very rarely do you get the opportunity to be like, oh, look, there's, you know, Peach whizzing by in the opposite direction above me, and I'm technically... So, yeah. And then we've had the like, underwater flying stuff, I think since 7, right? Mario Kart 7, so that's not particularly new. So, who knows? Maybe revisiting the Double Dash mechanics?
Yeah, I think there was actually an article, I can't remember where it was, but they were just talking about how that is a gem of how to control things. And I really like Double Dash. But I feel like they could shoehorn the hell of that into Mario Kart 8 Deluxe without any real massive change.
Yeah, or, you know, just... We've already got it with Link and Donkey Kong characters and blah, blah, blah. Just do Smash Kart and, you know, add in your Samuses and your Pokemon and, you know, driving around Metroid levels and Pokemon-themed tracks, and that would be quite cool as well, I think.
Yeah.
And particularly if you had the Double Dash, you know, so you could... You could all your favourite Nintendo ships. Do you remember when Samus and Pikachu were often put together because in one of the Smash Brothers they had a cutscene? Oh, so there was a lot of amorous fan art of those two. So, you know, yeah. You know, and all the fucking Waluigi idiots can go to their heart's content by pairing Waluigi with Waluigi or something, I don't know. In the Waluigi mobile.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot of visceral hate.
Oh, like, just
the nerve there.
It's just, if you spend... We've kind of naturally divided up the social medias between us. And unfortunately, the ones that I'm on, there is just a proportion, a small but very vocal minority of people who, under every Nintendo or game tweet, will be jump straight in there with, oh, well, it's a shame that Waluigi wasn't his own character in Smash Bros. It's a shame that Waluigi Amiibo doesn't, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just under literally everything.
Waluigi, but that's,
yeah,
it's just no,
it's anyway, insufferable.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Like, yeah. Okay, so anything more you want to say about Mario Kart Deluxe?
No, except I am just really happy that an old game has been given a breath of fresh air, and people are enjoying it. And yeah, it was, I mean, you know, they're getting paid for it, but it's kind of unnecessary. You know, Mario Kart just perpetually continues to sell extremely well years after its release. It's just really great. It's kind of fresh content, you know. And even then, I kind of played through 50GP, 100GP, 150GP, and then later kind of go through and do Mirror and 200, try my best at 200. And so some of the, you know, I've just got how many tens of tracks which are still new to me, or that I've only raced once or twice. So yeah, it's fun. Enjoying it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I give it Mario Kart 8 out of 8.
Mario Kart 8 out of 8.
Yeah.
That's a good score system.
Yeah.
What was our last score? I remember it was we were going to make it the new way that we score things.
Oh, yeah. It was really confusing because it involved a half and a double.
Okay.
It was like double, half a double dragon.
Okay, let's just stick with the 8 out of 8.
Yeah, 8 out of 8. Richie, what have you been playing? What are you playing?
What are you playing? What have you been playing?
What have you been playing? Our new format.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The new updated Super PC merchant in Resident Evil 4.
The legally distinct version of
yeah.
What are you playing? What are you playing?
So I've been playing through a few things, and I've touched on a couple of new games. So unless you are, or we release this podcast in a very weird and different timeline.
Possible. Entirely possible.
It was recently Halloween.
Was it? That's not even true in real time. Let alone recording time. Okay, fine.
Yeah, it was. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I think Halloween's one of those things where 1st November, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Straight away is now, you put up your Christmas decorations. Halloween's dead.
Gone.
Halloween is dead to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't count backwards. You can only count forwards to Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ding dong, merrily and high. Fuck you, Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. 364 days to Halloween.
Is that the first time you sung on the podcast?
No, absolutely not. So recently, recently it was Halloween.
Yeah, so I was on a mission to try and play some scary games.
Readers, check out our Halloween episode, which I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. I can. Something spine tingling.
Dunk for apples. Spine tingling.
Listen to our episode, That Guy's a Maniac, Dunk for Apples, Spine Chilling, to hear an extended discussion about what makes a Halloween game. So after that, I guess you were on the hunt for a Halloween game, right?
Yeah, and a poem. And a poem.
Yeah, on that episode, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I decided to play through some of my scarier, you can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes, scarier games.
Yeah.
So I also decided to visit the Steam store and buy a few just to get myself in the mood and see what were the higher rated ones as well. So
nice.
I bought the new Layers of Fear.
Oh, yeah.
So you're the one that actually told me about this, that it's become a new platform and you can sort of replay the old ones and they're constantly updating it. Which is just so cool.
Maybe it's a theme of the podcast, right? Updating
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
Subtexts.
And we had to call it Deluxe Sleep.
I know, anyway. I know.
Basically, Layers of Fear. I played it for a little bit and I was like, oh, this is such a great game. I love it. And it's scary as hell. So it's kind of one of those ones where I had to sort of like, sort of say to my girlfriend, you're going to stay and play this game with me, right? You're not going to go away. but then she went away, so I couldn't play the game anymore. Yeah. So it was one of those ones. So I've started playing Layers of Fear, basically tip of the iceberg. It's the same thing over again, but it's wonderful, better looking, and there's another sort of sub-story going on as well, where you're a writer and you're trying to find out what's happening, and basically I think this writer is retelling the stories of the original Layers of Fear and sort of like moving around. So I'm excited and I'm ecstatic, but it's one of those games I have to play with adult supervision.
Or on a Tuesday at midday on a sunny day.
Even then. If I was in the house by myself, I would be like paranoid that I would like the door would knock or something you know. Or anything, man. My phone would ring. Anyway. Layers of Fear, I've only touched the surface of it. I'm not going to give it a review, but that's one of the Halloween games that I was playing. Another one that I was playing was Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed Ecto Edition.
Fucking hell. You and Ghostbusters games. So, obviously you'll tell us all, but is Spirits Unleashed like that one good one?
No, it's very different.
Is it good?
No, it's good. Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed is more like an homage to the Saturday morning cartoon version of Ghostbusters, which is pretty niche.
The real
to be
Ghostbusters.
Honest. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of based on that. It's got some really cool characters you can create based on that. And outfits from that old 80s TV, 80s cartoon show, which is
nice.
Quite weird and fun. They introduced new characters. The only returning character I've seen so far, or two returning characters, is Ray has set up his occult shop in the firehouse. And Winston is now the owner of the building. So it's all kind of like the next generation. So there's a new smart guy and there's a new kind of Janine but smart belittling Janine there.
Smart woman, whatever next.
I know. It's also it's quite woke as well. There's there is no sort of gender or anything in it, which is it's part of most games nowadays.
Do you create your own character?
Yeah. And you create your own voice, so you can have any body type you want with...
Nice!
Yeah. Similar to that, like a Baldur's Gate and things like that. So it's
So have you gone for a woman?
Yes, of course.
Nice. Have you given her a really deep voice?
No.
Okay.
But I did give her... Bill Murray's haircut from the Saturday morning cartoon.
With
the big quiff.
So, can you get like Egon's... Is that like
the curly hole, round bit. So all of that sort of stuff's in there.
Perfect.
And it plays exactly how you would expect it to play. So you've got your proton pack with the right trigger, and you can send out a trap with the left trigger.
Nice.
And I only done the first mission because I was just playing through a bunch of games. It was quite cool. Went to a museum. And there are people around there. You ask them questions. But also when the ghost appears, they start to get scared and you have to kind of calm them down because otherwise they're just going to get in the way. But ultimately, all you do is get the ghost and then get a trap and catch the ghost. Of course, the ghost can get away. It's also fully multiplayer as well, so you can just jump in with four other people and do proper Ghostbusters-y things and try and corner the ghost and stuff like that together. Or it's entirely single player as well. But it looks like it could be fun in a multiplayer scenario. If I had friends, it might be quite good.
I'm looking at the website. It's such an old school video game website. So not only does it not actually show you what the game looks like at all, unless you go to like an embedded YouTube video.
Okay.
Which you then can't get out of. It doesn't look too like microtransaction-y, daily leaderboard, daily type stuff.
There is seasons in it. With the seasons, you get different jumpsuits.
All right, okay.
I didn't get far enough in the game to get to the point where you're using seasons and things like that, but
yeah
it exists. I'm afraid.
Okay.
But yeah, it was fun. It was a little bit of fun. It was nice to dip into, and it was quite cool to have the voices and stuff like that. So yeah. And of course they keep a very cool soundtrack going. That being said, I would say that the remaster of the old one from 2015 or whatever it was, definitely a better game. That is Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, I think the one that came out originally on the Wii, right, and then got ported to everything.
I think it was Xbox.
And the one that everyone was like, this is a surprisingly good Ghostbusters game.
Yeah. It was written by Zemix and things like that as well. So it was
before Ghostbusters ended up as the weird nexus for popular culture.
Yes.
So strange.
Anyway. So that was another one that I was playing. Another one that I picked up was House of the Dead Remake.
Okay.
So that has just come out for Halloween, and it's House of the Dead, but pretty.
Yeah, can't go wrong with House of the Dead.
Yeah, and it was great playing through it, and it's... The only problem is, of course, that you're playing it with a controller or a mouse and keyboard. So it loses a little bit of its way.
It does. House of the Dead, what was it called? House of the Dead...
Typing of the Dead.
Typing of the Dead was very good. House of the Dead Overkill.
Oh, that was the one on the Wii where you...
On the Wii.
Yeah.
So the kind of with the grindhouse trappings. Remains. I think about that game a lot. You know, there's that meme about how men think about the Roman Empire. Like,
Yeah.
I think about House of the Dead Overkill perhaps more than I should.
I only ever saw it after someone had unlocked everything, including the dual pistols mode.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. You don't need to, it's weird, it's like you don't need two people to play, but the fun part is you are doing both parts and reload.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so good. It's one of the few games which demanded like a high quality but still cheap. You remember when like Wii accessory, you get those packs everywhere which would you'd snap on like a golf club and a tennis racket. Totally don't need to for when Wii Sports was everywhere.
You get a gun attachment and you want that gun attachment. Yeah.
You get two pistol gun attachments and it's a joy. A sheer joy.
But it's weird because I think we were talking about how laser guns aren't a thing anymore, and literally because the algorithm knows before you do, I got adverts on Facebook sort of saying, not just that, we are recreating light gun games, you know. It's like, so it's a company that's basically made a system which allows PC monitors to sense things in the same way as old TVs.
Nice.
So they're doing this, and I think the compatibility is the only problem, but they've done something. So, like, even old ROMs of the old arcade games will work with these guns.
Yeah, because there was one of the jumps in TVs, was it HDMI, something, basically made all the old, the technology behind the
it
old...
Was just flat screen. It's moving to flat screen. You don't have anything for the light to bounce off of.
Okay. Yeah, which was a shame. But I'm glad. Glad those tinkerers are coming up with.
Yeah, because I miss light gun games. I'm not saying I was great at them. I just enjoyed playing them. Yeah. You know, and even Blastress. The what was it called? Oh, we've talked about this. Nintendo Scope. That was so.
Yeah. And the Mega Drive one. Yeah, yeah. There is an alternative timeline where, instead of Rock Band, we just got like a plastic Arsenal. Oh, you know how in arcades it went from, you know, like your G-Con type things to increasingly outlandish big, like, you know, automatic guns which have the rattles. You just get this noise in the arcade.
Yeah.
There's an alternative timeline where everyone's got piles of, you know, brightly coloured plastic grenade launchers, machine guns, and
RPGs. Yeah.
But sadly, that never happens.
Okay, cool. I am going to stop talking about my slew of Halloween games for now.
And
we'll
think
revisit them.
It's the middle of the podcast. It's break time.
Break time! Okay. What are we doing in the middle of the podcast, Farley?
In the middle of the podcast, we ask each other one card containing two questions from the ultimate video game trivia, available at all middle of the shopping mall calendar sales place vendors.
All of them.
All of them. You can get your Mrs. Brown's Boys calendars, and you can get your ultimate video game trivia question cards.
Right, Farley, hit me.
You might get both of these. Handsome Jack first appears in which video game?
Borderlands?
Borderlands 2. Yeah.
So I've only ever played Borderlands 2, so
okay.
So question, okay, nailed it, first time, first try.
Boom.
Okay. This is contextually correct in our timeline as well. You ready for this?
Yeah.
In Limbo.
Yeah.
What kind of creature briefly captures the boy at the start of the game?
And triggers thousands of video game players with arachnophobia. Is it a spider?
It is a spider!
Yay.
Good job!
And if you remember our video game taxonomy of spiders, it's one of the spindly pointies.
Spindly pointies.
Okay, this one is too easy, so I'm going to introduce some blanks to try and make it harder.
Okay.
In which game series might you play as Sergeant Blank, Harry Blank, or a giant blank man?
Is it Harry Tipper?
Yes.
Is it Time Splitters?
Yeah. Harry Tipper, Sergeant Cortez, or a giant gingerbread man?
Giant gingerbread man. I was struggling on that one.
Yeah, I was working out with, basically, you couldn't not blank gingerbread. But then giant gingerbread blank or blank gingerbread man.
I stand by your decision, and I got there.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay, we are 3-4. This pressure's on.
Right, so I'll be very disappointed. It happens in every single podcast episode. Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Is it the one that's Just Cause, but I say something else?
No. This is definitely one I have not asked before, but you better fucking get it right.
Right.
Okay. In which game?
Yeah.
Did Kitana first appear as a playable character?
Why do I always get the fucking Mortal Kombat questions? It was about Kitana as well. They were obsessed with her. Right. So because it's a... I've got to try and outthink Ultimate video game trivia here.
Okay. Think it out.
If it was Mortal Kombat 1, they wouldn't ask. Unless they thought that's what I'd think.
I don't think it's they thought what they'd think. Try and think about who was in Mortal Kombat 1.
I don't know. They all were... four people with ninja suits of different colours. Four women in ninja suits of different colours.
Okay, so here's a little hint.
Yeah, it's not Mortal Kombat 1.
Pretty much. That takes two games out of this. There was only one woman in Mortal Kombat 1.
And right. It
was Sonya Blade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that eliminates Mortal Kombat 1 and also Mortal Kombat 1. So that still leaves, what, 11 games?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
The bad one.
The bad.
Is it the
one.
Bad one?
There isn't a bad Mortal Kombat. No.
I thought 3 was bad. Is 3 bad?
3 was hard, really hard. But it was a good game.
Okay, I'm gonna. I think Mortal Kombat 2 is too basic. So Mortal Kombat 3.
Oh, you should have gone with the basic.
2.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Wow. We were so cocky and confident with those first 3.
Yeah.
Shame.
I'm sad now.
Yeah, it's end of break time.
Right. Okay, so let's get back on with the second half of the podcast.
Yes.
The sleep section. Farley, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What are you playing?
Well, as part of our news, reviews, and previews section.
Oh, dear.
I know. I'm not a well man, and I've made myself laugh, which is sad. I've not played, but I've been hovering for a while. You know, had it in my basket. I thought, no, I don't need to. And then backing out is Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 remastered. Which was released quite a while ago.
Yeah.
On many platforms. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, I could really do with some classic Tomb Raider on the Switch. But I've resisted. Basically, you know, I have them all, but I don't think I currently have a reliable way of playing original PlayStation games on original hardware because controllers have failed and cable compatibility and some of the original black discs don't work anymore.
Yeah, they've passed their sell-by date.
Yeah, and then I've got like a first gen and then a... one of the later released PlayStations, which are a bit finickety. And then I saw this. I do love all of it. I mean, Tomb Raider 3 I could leave, but Tomb Raider 1 and 2. Anyway, so I've not been playing that, but I've been thinking about it, Reader. Think about it hard.
I think you should pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's currently 10% off as well. It's £24. Yeah, 24. Okay, you're often a stickler for the prices. What do you think? $24.29 for essentially 3 PlayStation 1 games.
I don't think you should measure it in essentially PlayStation 1 games. I think you should think of it as they're £8 each.
Yeah, so if you put it like that, like, yeah, £8 on OG Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you do have to buy all three, but...
Yeah, no, I know what, you know, Tomb Raider 2 is great, and actually, I don't know how much remastering they've done. I mean, the name is Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 Remastered, but they've done it in such a way where you can still... they've managed to, from screenshots and the trailer, they've managed to toe the line of it doesn't look as fuck awful as it used to, but because that's what you were used to, yeah, in your mind, it looked amazing. If you see what I mean.
Yep, yep.
But not fucked it up too much that you're like, oh, this isn't what I used to play. Yeah, Tomb Raider 2 in particular, I think, will massively benefit from that. I remember that opening level on the Great Wall of China. It's just impossible to even work out where the walkways are in the original because everything's just too angular.
You know what? I'm looking at it and...
Yeah,
they've just rounded the edges of everything.
Yeah, but, you know, with the lighting and the shaders and it, you know, so it still looks... It looks like what your brain thinks a PlayStation 1 game was like, even though it absolutely looks nothing like... Nothing as beautiful as that at all.
No, I'd say give it a punt. Yeah. I think for 24 quid, it's worth a punt. Absolutely.
Yeah. I might ask.
Especially as a fan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'd love to. You know, Tomb Raider 3 kind of did play less than the other two, so it'd be nice to revisit that. I've not looked as to what, if it allows you to play the soundtrack when you're logged in and looking at your Switch with your Switch on in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one thing I would say is approach it. Well, I would approach it, especially when it comes to remasters, or at least the way I have been doing it. Don't go there with the thinking, you know, I need to do absolutely everything, get all of the new achievements or whatever.
Yeah, I need to get all the secrets, all the trophies.
All right, okay then. Well, as a remaster, I don't like being told to do all of that stuff again.
Why can't you magically... Give me an option to insert my PlayStation 1 memory card and then just automatically read that I've already done all this.
Yeah, I've done this before. It's like, I've been there, done that. Yeah, I refuse to sort of like be tied to not play the rest of my backloggery because you want me to get all of these achievements again on a different system or do these things. But that's just my opinion. I get where you're coming from as well because... You just need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What has... Play the complete experience with all expansions. The fuck? Tomb Raider expansions? It smells like a PC thing.
Yeah, it probably was a PC thing, yeah.
Yeah, when Tomb Raider came to PC, like 24 years later. Back when PC really got shafted on the...
No, I think it was on PC at the same time as PlayStation. Kind of like Final Fantasy and things like that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon?
I remember it being a PC game. You would like move around Lara's view with the mouse.
Oh God, that sounds less than ideal. And also, I mean, I think there is a older version. One of the early episodes of the podcast where I did set up a PlayStation and played Tomb Raider 2 and controls back then were fucking mental, like sidesteps on the shoulder
buttons. Yeah, shoulder yeah, yeah.
what the fuck? Okay. It's like, anyway, so
yeah,
yeah. That's I might be playing, but I'm not playing. And then I've got another one because that doesn't really count, which I think you've also been playing. In fact, I know you have been playing it.
Again, we're gonna do the whole air quotes that you can't see. Yeah, playing.
Yeah. Is lending its name to the second half of this episode, Pokemon Sleep the game, inverted commas.
Yeah.
For better or worse, I am still playing it, and I say that you are still playing it.
Yes. I don't think I can ever stop playing it.
For readers' benefit, if you're not aware of this, it was touted for ages. Then years later it came out. It is a app, loathe to call it a game, which really badly records your sleep if you use the Pokeball Go Plus Plus, or quite accurately measures your sleep if you have your phone on and unlocked and plugged in and
getting hotter and hotter
and making
hotter.
Your pillow 40 degrees. And basically every night you sleep and you wake up and it says how long did you sleep, and your poker buddies will have found some other poker buddies, and you say hello to the poker buddies and give them biscuits, and you get new poker buddies, and then you can make them go to sleep whilst making a Snorlax get fatter and fatter every week, and then it resets and you do it again.
It resets every week. Yeah,
every week. It's I think you described it as a roguelike.
Yes, it's essentially a roguelike, because you get benefits from everything you do. So if you cook once, the next time you cook it will be slightly better. And if you go to an island and do something for a whole week, the next time you go to that island, it'll be slightly better.
Yeah, you can level up your Pokemon and they get better skills. You can upgrade their skills. You can evolve them. You can catch better and rarer kinds of Pokemon the higher you get your Snorlax, etc., etc. And since we last talked about it, we've had our first suite of events. So they've been adding, I think they added Shuppet and Banette.
And they added Pikachu with a wee witch's hat on.
Pikachu with a hat, because we fucking love event exclusive hat Pokemon. And this week they've added Onyx and Steelix, I think.
Yeah. And we've got an Eevee event coming up.
We do. Across almost all Pokemon platforms, we've got Eevee events coming up, because it's Eevee Day. Question, Richie.
Yes.
Why are we still playing this?
Because
109 days in, or I can't remember the count.
Because we're invested now. we even bought an accessory for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do like, you know, and also if you sleep well, it gives you a little boost in Pokemon Go as well. And the Pokeball Plus Plus is significantly better than the whatever it was, Pokemon Go and the Pokeball Go. It's a very good, if you play Pokemon Go regularly, I think it's worth buying, and it just happens to make Pokemon sleep that little bit better.
Yeah, that a little bit better.
But yeah, why are you still playing it? Why am I still playing it?
I think it's because there has been a level of investment, and you know that this is it in its worst form, and it's going to get better. Because right now, the thing that kills me the most is, like, I have some Pokemon.
Yeah.
You can only use some Pokemon each week. You want to have the best possible team for your Snorlax every week, which means you need to invest a lot of candy, which is very, very hard to come by, in order to get them to a high level. That leveling mechanism is so broken that it has to change. Because right now I'm sitting on a Pokemon at level 30, and the rest are just sort of middling, just under 20 and stuff like that. Because I've invested all in one.
Yeah.
And there has to be a brighter future. I can't see a situation where I can get a Pokemon to level 100.
It's mad, right? Because you look at the so part of it is a bit of a gacha game. So you kind of randomly, not semi-randomly, it depends on what level you are, and what your sleep is like, although, as I said, the sleep tracking is might as well be made up.
It's just random. Bugs me,
But depending on, and also, I rarely get one of the three sleep types, so there's just a whole bunch of Pokemon I haven't seen. I rarely get drowsing one? I mostly get, like, slumbering or mixed sometimes. And then, like, main series Pokemon games, each Pokemon is unique, so it will have nature, which can either be completely neutral, or it'll give you you know, gathers more berries but runs out of energy, or slowly runs out of energy but then doesn't gather as many ingredients. And so there is an element which is really frustrating. So, you know, recently I've encountered lots of Pikachus. So you look at each Pikachu and like, ah, that one has a trash ability, or it doesn't have any synergy with my team because I've already got a Pokemon which increases my cooking pot.
But that's the thing, is your team, you can't have a team. Every week it changes, so...
No. But because the investment in leveling them up is so high, so if you sleep with your Pokemon, didn't come out right.
Yeah.
They gain experience.
Yeah, they gain experience a little bit.
But, you know, it could be gutting when you're like, okay, you know, whatever. Pikachu's my favorite. I'm going to have a Pikachu on my team. And then the next day you encounter one and you manage to encourage it to stay with you by feeding it biscuits. And it's got the better skill. You're like, I just spent 2 months slowly investing in this Pikachu to be level 20, and now I've got a level 5 one that's technically better. And it's not like you can, you know.
Well, I had a similar experience. So I've been investing in a Ghastly, and Ghastly will only like evolve at level 19 to Haunter, but I caught a Haunter which is now level 13. You used to get that stuff in the original Pokemon game.
Yeah.
You remember where you would like be able to catch a Pokemon that somehow didn't evolve until level 20, but you'd catch it at level 15.
Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm going to ditch the guy I've been carrying for the last 3 gyms because this guy's already there and better. So yeah, I don't know about you. One of the things I like about it is there isn't much to do, right? So basically...
3 times a day you feed your Snorlax.
Yeah, 3 times a day you check which ingredients and berries that your Pokemon have gathered, which they gather over time and have energy, feed your Snorlax, make a meal, you get weekly missions, and
I think what's also, there's a level of satisfaction as well, because as the week is drawing to a close, everything starts to ramp up a bit as well.
Yeah.
So you're getting a times multiplier based on how much you've fed your Snorlax and how well you've been sleeping. So, like, if you get a really good night's sleep on a Saturday, which is because we're old men, we do, you end up waking up in the morning and you've got this massive, like, hey, every Pokemon is, like, ridiculously likely to be a new one.
Yeah.
And... you're gonna get new things and stuff like that. So yeah, it's there is,
and the numbers artificially insanely high, right? Yeah. Like 247,000 points times 1.5 weekend multiplier.
Yeah,
means exactly. Nothing, but it is just really big number.
And it's satisfying.
Yeah.
And that's only gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of my time invested in the very first island, to the point where I got it to its max. Its max is 40% increase on everything. Okay. That is everything.
Yeah.
So that is when you feed Snorlax berries, it is a 40% increase. Unfortunately, so my next goal, in order to unlock the final island, is to see 150 sleep styles. I have 6 more to get.
Oof.
Last week I had 8 more to get. So I, as much as I had invested all of my time in this first island and I would get a really high score, I'm just aware that I might only see 2 new sleep types.
Yeah.
So I needed to move to another one. Thankfully it's Onyx and Steelix week, so I've moved to the island where they're going to appear. But yeah, I really want to get to this new island because it's snow and Christmassy, and by Christmas I want to have it up to at least 20-30%, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's gonna be some Christmas themed event coming.
Exactly.
So I like the fact there isn't a huge amount you can do.
There's no playing, but there's mechanics.
Yeah, really so that it tricks me into thinking, oh, this is an investment. Whereas sometimes, we've complained about it a lot in the past, sometimes getting up to change the game in your Switch or turn your PC on is the difference. I was like, I can't be bothered to do that. Yeah. So the thought of investment is too much because, I don't know, we're all horribly privileged and extremely lazy. And whereas asleep, it's like, I can just do that. You know, I'm on the bus, I'll just, you know, berries. But the problem I've got is I keep switching my priorities. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to min-max this week. What does my Snorlax like? He likes these three berries and he likes this kind of thing. Fine, I'm going to put together the best team to level up Snorlax and then get more. And then I think, but maybe I should just do like my five favorite Pokemon and get them to really high level. So then I switch my team. And then I think, I've been super lucky with shinies. I've got like seven shinies.
Oh, yeah. It was the first week. We got nothing but loads of shinies. I've only ever seen one since, and it was an Ekans, which is a great shiny, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Now I've got a Diglett, a Dugtrio, a Arbok, a Caterpie, a Butterfree, and a Magnemite.
Oh, nice, a Magnemite. Cool.
Yeah, which is great. So then I think, you know, because you can show that off to your sleep friends, like, well, maybe I should invest in the shinies because they're more unique. And so I keep undermining my own progress by switching instead of just either like invest in your favorites, just stick with the shiny team, or just min-max it and then at that time. But yeah, like you said earlier,
the only time I've ever changed my team was, I think it was last week, it was the week before last, and I was struggling for ingredients.
Yeah,
like I've never, what is happening? Because the week before, I was like, I'm just throwing them away because they've hit the max. I don't need any more of these ingredients. But then I went through them so quickly, so I had to change my team to an ingredient-finding team, and then switch back to the berry-finding team. But again, it was rubbish. I hate having like a pseudo-woodo on the team at level 12, who's just there because, you know.
You need gingers, three gingers or something.
Well, it wasn't even the ingredients, it was the berries.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't care about the ingredients. Like, there are recipes... which I know I can't unlock until I have really high level Pokemon. So things like Pokemon that can give me leeks or eggs. So I just need to wait till then, and then I'll blitz through them.
Yeah, but then some of those recipes, I mean, they're quite good. So if you get like, you know, milk or honey, which are quite common early recipes, you can. This recipe for like seven honey and whatever else you add will be one of the drinks, but the big points are in the more complicated meals where you need like four different kinds of ingredients.
So that's a fallacy, because you can make warm milk for your Snorlax you just, that is like seven milk, right? If you add another whatever your max is at, 33 ingredients at the moment.
Yeah.
If you just add all of those other things in, you're leveling up the warm milk. I've got mine at level 25, the warm milk. And it gives me more points than a level 7 masala bun, you know. So you can just use the simplest recipe, and it gives you the same points as if you just jam in a bunch of oil and... fiery leaf or whatever it is, you know, or ginger. You just get the same points, so don't read anything into that initial one. Maybe at high levels it'll change, but I can't be bothered with that until I've actually got Pokemon that can get the actual items on a regular basis. So
yeah, there are very few. I think it's like two or three recipes per menu.
And also, it's only ever worth doing the rare recipes at the weekend when you've got the double, ingredients.
The max power type thing.
because that levels up your the level. See, I'm so into it.
I know, but so then also, part of me is like, maybe I just want to get all the recipes on the list, you know, so then I can, and with the differences between the Pokemon, I've not spent a huge amount of time because, you know, basically pick my favorites or the early ones I've leveled up. But if you really wanted to, there's like a surprising amount of depth, considering all you do is gather ingredients and make a dish 3 times a day. That's pretty much what you do. And I think maybe, as I said before as well, it has made me sleep, like go to bed. Maybe not necessarily sleep, but definitely go to bed slightly more regularly than I would have done otherwise.
It just reminds me to turn it on at 10:30. That's all. And it doesn't matter. I can turn it on at 10:30. Yeah. Put it in my bed, and then it says, "Oh, you didn't get to sleep till 2:30." And I'm like, you fucker!
I know.
Where do you make this judgment from?
I know. Sometimes I've had like the best sleep of the month. They're like, "Nah, you slept 3 hours, mate." I didn't. But also, sadly, it's the first thing I do like after I get up and have a shower, or whatever, instead of Doom Scroll,
and that
I think is having an extremely positive effect on my life.
Yeah, I mean, of course, absolutely.
So I think these are some of the reasons why I'm still playing it, even though, you know, under our own various definitions of what is a game, this is not barely qualifying. You know, it's a somewhat random kind of gacha, very loosely based on how much you did or didn't sleep, to be honest.
It's not even gacha. I suppose it's got a few of those things. Question, did you go for the premium pass?
No, I've not. So I don't know if it ran out, because when you started the game, or maybe it's just if you got the Pokeball
Go Plus.
It gives
you 30
plus.
Minutes. Yeah.
It gives you one. I was saving it for when I knew how to play the game better, and also saving it for a week where I would have the mental fortitude and foresight to make sure that subscription is absolutely cancelled at the end of the 30 days or disabled before it kicks in. So I've not. Have you? Did you use
I
your
did, and
premium?
I got the premium, and I've just not thought about it. I think it's kind of necessary because the prices of the cookies are too high.
I like I like the survival horror aspect
that,
of it.
That fear is too much. So right now I am like, we're 13 days into November. I have exhausted my stock of premium poke biscuits for 100. So I'm like down to about 7, and my fear is that a shiny turns up.
Yeah.
Or you know, or something that I really, really want.
Yeah.
I have no great balls.
Yeah.
Or great biscuits.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as ultra biscuits yet.
No.
Yet.
And I never have the sleep points to get a master ball biscuit.
So I'm hovering at 14,000 sleep points at the moment, and I hate going below 10. I can easily just I hate the fact that there's a limited number in the stock as well.
No, I love that. It makes it, it removes some of the decision making. So the mechanic, reader, is when you go to sleep and you wake up, depending on your sleep power and how fat your Snorlax is and how long you slept, you'll attract, and your level, you'll attract different Pokemon who will have slept on your island. And the thing that drives, the big driver of your progress, is the sleep styles. So the higher your level, the higher your chance of getting certain kinds of Pokemon, and that you get a rare sleep type. So each Pokemon has like, well, it varies, but most of them have a 1, 2, 3, some have 4-star, some even have like 5-star sleep styles. And then after you record those, you have an opportunity to feed them biscuits to fill out a meter. And if you fill out that meter, they will come to your island. Now, you get a bonus biscuit every day, which has feels like 3 bits of the meter out. And you can very inexpensively buy like pokeball biscuits, which will fill out one bar. But they can get 4. And the higher the level they are, so if you find like a Haunter or a Raticate, so a Rattata, they will have sometimes like 12 little bars to fill out. And you cannot just give them 12 Pokeball biscuits because they'll be full up after 3 or 4. And then you might never see them again. That's it. That's your last, you know, or rare chance to see them because you can't really do anything to control what turns up. And that's one of the other things I like is the Pokemon on your team, they're not interested in which Pokemon you have and which ones you've evolved. It's all about the sleep styles, which you have very little control over. But I thought that all shinies were hungry. And you can get with a single biscuit.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never seen that written down.
I think, because I've caught everyone I've had, and I think I've given them all the... But I don't know that for sure. Yeah. But I like that aspect of it. Because sometimes, you know, you get 7 Pokemon, particularly on a weekend, 7 Pokemon turn up. 4 of them are new. One of them's like a cool one you've not seen. Like, what do I do? Do I risk giving them cheap biscuits and then they get full up and I might not see them for months again?
I lost, I didn't lose, but I spent 2 great cookies and the premium bonus cookie. That's the other thing that's good with the premium as well.
Yes.
You get a much better cookie. I'd get an Absol. It's like, I've never seen an Absol.
The
Absol. Boom, boom, boom. But I got them. Yeah. I got them.
Oh, well done.
But yeah, it was just more of a case of, if I didn't have those cookies, how awful would it be?
Yeah.
I mean, how awful would it be? You'd wait another month until it appears again.
Yeah. I mean, that's how they get you, right? How they get you.
And yeah, you can pump diamonds in it to buy these things as well.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm just paying a steady subscription fee. Anyway, how many It's Not a Games out of It's Really Not a Games would you give Pokemon Sleep?
I think it's a 7 Not a Games out of It's Really Not a Game.
Okay, 7. Not too bad.
Yeah, I think it's charming, right?
It's a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. It's charming. You've got the artwork. There's enough crossover with Pokemon to make you feel like you're playing Pokemon without having to stand up and turn on a Switch.
Yeah. And you got a remix of Lavender Town.
Oh, the Halloween remix was amazing. There's a steady series of events. The communications around it's very good.
It's definitely going to be better as well.
Yeah, I think this is every day you play it's the worst it's going to be. And that's it's got a lot going for it for what it is,
which is very little.
Hard sell. If it was not Pokemon themed, probably would not be interested, to be honest.
But because it is, we're invested.
Yeah, we're suckers for it.
Yep. I'm not going to talk about any more of my Halloween games. I think we should give our poor reader
another classic. We don't have anything to talk about. Overrunning, gone through half my list episode of the podcast.
Brilliant.
Richie, that's guys a Snorlax.
Why'd he sleep only 3 hours?
Drowsy sleep my ass.